Once I have accepted myself, it's so much easier to accept other people and their points of view. This is Instant Inspiration from Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Once I have accepted myself, it's so much easier to accept other people and their points of view. Now, why is this true? Well, first, when we accept ourselves, we know what our point of view is. We know what we believe, we know what we think, we know what we say, we know what's important to us. And once we know what's important to us, then whatever we hear from anybody else is filtered through what we believe is important for us, and we are touched or not touched by whatever they do based upon what we believe. So, once I have accepted myself, I can accept the world, but I cannot accept the world if I have not accepted myself. And I will never accept the world until I have accepted myself. We feel that the world is giving us a hard time. We feel that everybody in the world is wrong and we are right. We feel that everything we want to do is marked by failure and our inability to do it. And that's true. That's true. Whatever we feel, that's what we experience. Now, when we're in such a morass, in such a dead area, how can we get out of it? How can we climb out of feeling sorry for ourselves, of feeling that we are getting nowhere, and that we've never had any privileges in our life, that our life has never offered any good opportunity for us? How can we climb out of that? Well, we climb out of that by realizing who we are. Now, to say I'm number one, that's wonderful. To say I'm God, that's wonderful. To say that I'm creator of my world, that's wonderful. But how do we really climb out of the morass of feeling that we have never accomplished anything? Well, the monks at the monastery have the key. And some of them use it, and some of them do not use it. Now, the key is called your miracle book. And in your miracle book, you write down all of the little things that happened as a blessing in your life. And you write them down as they happen every day. And you can be sure if you're not having any blessings happening during your days, you're not being a blessing to yourself or to anybody else. So these blessings begin to look a little different. When we begin to write them down in our book, we see them from a different point of view. Now, we may never read them again, although I recommend we do, but we may never read them again, and we may never know what we said, but we have them. All the monks here at the monastery have about 2 or 3 dozen books that were given to them by the monastery as blessing books. They're miracle books. To write in there what wonderful things happened to them that day, what miracles, what causes they put in motion and brought about results. But of course, some monks did not have any results. Some monks spoke their word for other people who were ill, and they didn't get well. Some monks performed ceremonies for others, and they were not happy with the ceremony. Some monks wrote letters to their relatives, and their relatives didn't respond in a happy, harmonious way. Some monks dreamed and wished and wanted things, and they never came true. And that's very true. In fact, they will never get their dreams fulfilled. And the reason they will never get their dreams fulfilled is they don't know how to hold out the beaker to receive it. They don't know how to hold it out. Now, if a little boy wanted a horse, what would he do? He'd prefer a place in the garage to receive the horse. If a person wanted to have abundance, what would they do? They begin thinking in abundance. But no, if they think in limitation, they're going to experience that. Now, a lot of monks think, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if I won the sweepstakes and got $20 million? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Well, yes and no. As a monk, you have pledged with all your honor to give everything that you have or ever will get to the monastery. And so therefore, if you won a beautiful sweepstake of $20 million, it would go directly, $20 million, to the monastery. Nothing would go to you. You could not take it in your name because you have no name. You are the power of attorney for you lies in the monastery insofar as handling your medication goes, insofar as handling your funeral goes, insofar as handling anything that you do goes, and also in whatever comes to you. You have pledged to give it directly to the monastery. Now, there are some people who have gotten money and have not given it to the monastery, and it bothered them very seriously. Sometimes it was just a small amount, like Ilse having some in her bank account in Germany and not turning it over when she came. She turned over lots of money. She gave, but this amount of money was some small pittance of money, but it was not the amount, it was the principle. When we violate the principle, we violate in every area of our life. Now, that was a cross on her heart. And throughout her life here at the monastery, she had that cross on her heart. We gave her the opportunity to release it, to throw the money in, you know. I think it was something like 500 Deutschmarks or something, nothing?
Oh, it was probably 5 Deutschmarks.
5 what?
5 Deutschmarks.
5 Deutschmarks.
If it was a lot.
If it was a lot at that. And that wasn't the point. She was holding on to that as her rainy day money. Now, if she'd held on to 5,000, that might have been a little more intelligent, you know. But 5 Deutschmarks was not very much. But this bothered her very much. She tried to give us that 5 Deutschmarks many times. And each time she tried to get it out of the bank, she couldn't get it out. Each time she tried to do anything, it wouldn't work. So when she died, this was very heavy on her heart. And it was one of the things that she was very concerned about that she didn't accomplish and fulfill. Because, you see, we thought it was 5 Deutschmarks, but it was something quite different. Something quite different. And you will never know what it was, and it doesn't matter. But it was something quite different. Now, if any of you receive something, for instance, from the sweepstakes, and you win this great amount of money, there is no choice for you to say, do you want it or don't you want it? It doesn't belong to you. And now, if you quit the monastery before you win the sweepstakes, you can do anything you please. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you please. And it's just that simple. And if you don't win, then there you are, sitting out in the cold. But that's fine, because everyone who is here at the monastery has the talent to do anything they want to do. They can go into the world and get an exquisite job in 10 seconds flat if they want to. But because many of them are used to having the monastery take care of them, they don't think they can get a job. And they go around borrowing money from other people, and then they put themselves further in debt. And they wonder what's going wrong. Well, people who do that are only going to get themselves more muddled and more muddled. When you realize, once you accept yourself, you can do anything. You can do anything. Now you say, I made a vow to give everything to the monastery as long as I lived. And then I decided to leave the monastery. Well, how could you have the ability to leave the monastery if you pledged that you were going to stay there forever? How could you leave your wedding if you promised to marry him for better or for worse forever, you know, and you get a divorce? How could you? Well, you can change the rules any time along the way if you wish, but you can only change them as they concern you. And it concerns you when you choose to leave the monastery or if you choose to stay. If you choose to leave a marriage, or if you choose to stay in a marriage, or if you choose to leave a relationship, or if you choose to stay in it. It's just that simple. And whatever you want to do, you can do. Now, there are many people who come to the monastery with something in their eyes, you know. They think it is some glorious place where they will be spiritually illumined just by being in the presence of all these spiritually illumined monks. And they don't realize that the other monks are working just as difficult and seriously on it as they would be. And so they come here, and they see the monks arguing with each other sometimes. They see the monks disagreeing with the authority once in a while. They see the monks not being loving, gentle, kind people like they presume they should be. And they say, I don't want to be part of that. And so they go back in the world, and they return to the world which is all of that. At least at the monastery, we're working on it. Out in the world, they say, I'm just human, and let that be the excuse for not being their perfect divine self. Here, we want to work on ourselves, to learn to accept ourselves, to learn to find out who we are, and to love who we are. And if we, for any reason, feel that we're not loved, it's because we don't love. If for any reason we feel that we're not wanted, it's because we don't choose to want. We had an experience a short time ago where one of the monks was in the hospital. And during that time, there was no arguments on campus. There were no discussions on campus. There was no theoretical unhappiness on campus. And we said, well, now, that's very interesting. You mean this one person was the cause of all that? No, the one person was not the cause of that. We were the cause of it. But we allowed them to be the means by which we did it. And we could have done it with anybody. And we do it with anybody. And we create these experiences in our life and in our world because they are things that turn us on, that make us happy or make us sad. Now, once you accept yourself, you don't go out and make trouble in the world. You don't go out and belittle the world. You don't go out and speak unkindly of the world. You just go out and be your noble, beautiful self. And once you are your noble, beautiful self, then you find that the world really is a wonderful place. The world really is filled with wonderful people. And wherever you are, that's paradise. And if you are not accepting yourself, you will not find paradise wherever you might go. You won't find that little picket fence around that little cottage that so many newlyweds would like to have so that they could live in that paradise. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. You know what happens in that little picket fence cottage? They have children. And it's too small. And they have to move out of their paradise into an apartment or into something bigger, something more demanding. And they have to make money to feed their family. And they have to perhaps have a vegetable garden to grow and help to feed their family. And they have to do all these things. And you think, oh, how wonderful that would be. Well, if it's so wonderful, do it right where you are. Do it right where you are. We had people here attempting to raise a beautiful vegetable garden. And because their heart wasn't really in it, the vegetables grew because that was the nature of the vegetables, but so did all the little critters who enjoyed eating them. And that's a wonderful thing. But we can create our own world, create our own life, create our own experiences. Once we accept ourselves, no matter what we do, it'll be lovely. No matter where we go, it'll be lovely. No matter where we are, it'll be lovely. And we don't have to go anywhere, and we don't have to be anywhere. We just be accepting of ourselves. And when you accept yourself, you'll find the rest of the world will accept you too. But until you accept yourself, the rest of the world is going to put their foot right in your face, and they're going to stomp on it, and they're going to say, ha, ha, ha. You know, I know that you don't like yourself. Ha, ha, ha. And they're going to pick on you and do all sorts of mean things. And you're going to say, why me? Because you've invited it. You know how the children are in school? Oh, Ingeborg, you know how the children are in school. What was that going to say?
They tease someone.
They tease, and how do they tease?
Mischievously.
And mischievously, how do they tease?
They exaggerate in things that a person doesn't like.
What they do oftentimes is to pin a little sign on the back. Kick me. I like to be kicked. Walk on me. I like to be walked on. You know how kids do. They put these signs on the back of people, and they come up there, "Hi, Joe," or "Hi, Mary," and they slap it on there, and the scotch tape sticks to their back. And then people come along and say, "Hee," and they kick you. "Well, what'd you do that for?" "Well, because you wanted me to." "Well, what do you mean I wanted you to?" "Well, it says on your back, kick me," you know. And they don't mean it to be mean, too mean. And so then you take that off. "Who put that on my back? That must have been so-and-so," you know. Well, we put it on our own back. We put it on our own back. And we create our own little heaven or hell right where we are, doing whatever we're doing. So today, start accepting yourself just the way you are. And start saying, "I am so blessed to be where I am and to know what the program is, the rules are, what the program is for everybody. And I am just delighted. And I am happy to be who I am, because I know that I am creator of my world and I am master of my world." Once I've accepted myself, it's much easier to accept other people and their points of view, because I don't have to take them for what they are. I take them for what I am. Have a lovely evening, and I love you, I love you, I love you.